Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, ho, 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 and Merry Christmas. That's not going to make sense in a couple of weeks. Hello, and welcome down to Do Go On, a podcast with myself, and I am Mr. Dave Warnocky, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Matt Stewart. It's a very formal episode this week. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Mr. Dave.
Hello, Mr. Matt.
How's it going?
I'm about to stuff this up because I always get confused between Miss and Ms. We have Miss / Ms. Jess Perkins. Hello, Jess.
Hello, Mr. Dave and Mr. Matt. Mr. Dave. I'm also not sure the difference between Ms. and Miss. I think Ms. is just like an unmarried one.
Ms. is like the equivalent of Mr., I think. It doesn't mean you're married or unmarried.
Yeah.
And Miss,
yeah.
Miss means unmarried.
Miss is generally Mrs. like a younger married. Woman too. And I don't know where I sit in terms of age.
I find it, because I always get worried that I'm going to offend someone by implying that they're a Ms. or I still don't know.
No, I don't know. Good call though. Good option in
Let's
just saying
research
both.
That. We'll okay. do a 45-minute episode on the difference between Ms. and Ms. later on. And I should
it
say...
It is strange, right, that there is an extra option for the ladies than there is for the gents. We miss out yet again.
When will society evolve to help out men?
Yeah. Yeah. The downtrodden.
Oh, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, I'm a big supporter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Men's rights.
It's about time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm one of the time. Few who's on your side, okay? Don't lump me in with those other women.
Anyway.
Thanks, Ms. Anyway. Now, I said ho, 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 Merry Christmas at the start of this episode.
Oh, yeah, what was that all about?
Well, Matt, if you haven't heard the show before, if you just love Christmas and you've clicked on some sort of link because you want to hear a Christmassy show, then fear not, it will be Christmas. But what happens is we take it in turns to write a report on a topic of our choosing. And then the other two generally don't know what it's going to be about. And we don't know the exact topic.
But Matt's alluded
Matt has
to the fact.
Said that it will be some sort of Christmassy show.
Yeah, I thought seeing as we're coming up to Christmas, I might do a Christmas-ish one. Oh. I think knowing that it is Christmassy, this question, I should have thought of a better question.
Okay.
Because it's going to be pretty clear. Say, imagine that you didn't know this was about Christmas.
All
what
right.
would you say if I asked, who has the all-time record for most home invasions?
Pardon?
That is brilliant. Tooth Fairy, obviously.
Straight in there.
I don't know, that's Christmas fairy. Related.
Yeah, Tooth Fairy, that's good because...
You got more teeth, you'd lose them throughout the year.
Yeah.
I think you fucked it.
Some sort of...
Only the Tooth Fairy isn't real, Jeff.
That's right, we're talking about real people here.
Oh,
that's
I'm sorry,
right.
Of
we're
course.
Talking about... who are we talking about? Some sort of cat-burgling man?
So, are you just...
There is. I mean, there are a few different ones around the world, but I'm talking about... Santa Claus.
Santa. Coming to town. So I've heard. So Santa Claus.
Santa is our topic. That's great.
So Tooth Fairy, is that as universal as Santa? Maybe.
Not sure.
So maybe Santa does have more home invasions.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I did look up.
Others around the world.
Yeah, there are a few different ones.
You better say, I did look up the statistics on Santa's criminal records.
Home invasions, yeah.
I looked up the Tooth Fairy, and I saw an interesting study, and it asked, because, you know, the Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, most people have a certain picture in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Tooth Fairy, they asked, what does the Tooth Fairy look like? And there, I think it said 72% said female.
Oh, wow.
Which is, yeah.
I would have said higher.
Yeah, right. And then about 12 said neither a man or a woman.
Oh.
Yeah, fairy. It's the third box that you can
tick
these
days. Then someone, I think the last one was like, who gives a shit? And
that
about 8%. That's the one I ticked.
But you're right. There is sort of a pretty distinct picture of what Santa looks like.
Yeah. Cool. Did you guys believe as kids? I want to. Did you? You did. I want to probably finish with. I want to hear about how you found out that he wasn't. Just so parents have a lot of time to turn off. We'll finish with that. But what was your relationship like with Santa growing up?
Terrified, and I wouldn't get my photo taken with him at the shopping centres. I was scared of him.
Wow.
I would just cry. Now, as a 25-year-old, I go and get my photo taken with Santa.
Just straight on that.
It's a tradition now. Oh, yeah, I'm like, all right, Santa, here's what I want. Razor scooter. Barbie. And he's like, get off me. Madam, please leave.
Madam, there's another one. Ms, get off my knee. Yeah, and you're like, Ms. Hang on.
Yeah.
Please, Santa.
Santa. I've got a list.
I thought you knew everyone's names. Come on, mate.
I've been very good this year. Dave, what was your relationship with Santa?
I'm trying to think about. I've seen photos of me on his lap, so I think that I wasn't too scared, and I was very obsessed with getting free presents once a year.
Free presents.
That's do you have to pay for your presents?
Well, my birthday, of course, I had to supply my own party. Cool. Food.
That's normal,
I'm
isn't it? Normal,
really
isn't
interested in seeing a picture of you as a child, because now what I can imagine is basically what you look like right now.
Oh, I found a great photo, which I can show you after the show, and I may even post it to the listeners. It's a great one. It's the most 1990s photo I could find. It's me, age 6, at the pancake parlour, which was a big tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing with a Captain Planet toy.
Great.
A Transformer, a wrestler, and Play-Doh.
You have so many toys.
And I'm dressed as a Power Ranger.
Oh my God.
The green one.
Were you a blonde kid too?
No, I was pretty brown.
Pretty brown? Just imagine you. I'm literally just imagining you, but like shorter, like just a tiny version of what you look like now.
I weighed quite a similar weight.
Wow, there you go.
Matt, I've been the same weight class my whole life.
What, Dave does these shows, as you probably know, Jess, where one of the he does it's a fact based show and it's a quiz show.
It's called Facty Fact, but there's no fact.
Good point. It's a fact based name.
Just, yeah, fact based name, no fact based game.
And one of the rounds is you've got to guess whether something weighs more or less than Dave. And then
there's
a bunch
of
them
heavier, lighter, or the same as me, and I weigh 52 kilograms.
What were some of the things that weighed the same as you?
Gwen Stefani. No doubt.
Just how confidently he says it.
So there's not many things. It's hard when you Google 50. When I Google things that weigh 52 kilos, I find forums, and it's mainly teenage girls posting, I weigh 52 kilos, am I fat?
Oh.
And you just reply,
hey, I'm 25 and a man, and I'm pretty happy with where I'm at.
I'm feeling good.
Makes them feel better.
Now, what was your relationship with Santa?
I loved it. I was a big fan, and I believed for a long time.
A little too long, perhaps?
Maybe a little too long, yeah. But I don't think anything's really met that sort of excitement as a kid.
That wonder.
Yeah, yeah. I think the closest thing to it now is what I experienced recently, and that is this music festival I go to every year. And the night before feels somewhat like Christmas Eve as a child.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Because you don't get that as an adult as much, so it's nice when you do feel excitement for something.
Yeah. You have anything like that?
Nah. My life's really dull.
I just remember that my relationship with Santa as an adult has been pretty turbulent, because when I left high school, my first job when I was 19 was...
Tell me you're an elf.
Oh, well, I did the elf for a bit, so I did kids' parties, and then I got graduated to Santa, and I'd have to wear a fat suit. Because I weigh 52 kilos. Than you. I know, and I weigh 52 kilos, so I've got the fat suit on, but it doesn't do the arms or the legs, so I look like I've just, I've got like
you
fake arms.
You look like I do now.
Oh, I looked way worse. And then one day I locked my keys in my car when I was in between parties in the city here in Melbourne, and I couldn't think what to do, so because I was already dressed in the outfit, but I couldn't get to the next gig, so I took all the my gear and everything, like the Santa sack, out to top of Bourke Street, and I'm trying to get wave a taxi down, and they just aren't stopping. They're just waving back, like, "Hello, Santa." I'm like, "Stop, you fucking bastard! There's kids out in Moorabbin that need me. Come on, come on!" And they're all just waving. So bad. And I was the worst Santa. And one time my pants fell down when I was dressed as Santa because it's costume.
Because you weigh 52
youngest, skinniest Santa of all time.
Yeah.
And then when I put on the accents, people always thought
What's
I was
the accent?
Like a voice. Oh. They thought I was sounding bloody Scottish.
Oh, what is that accent?
It's not really an accent. It's just, it's more like a, it's a.
It's an old man voice.
Yeah. Do you see that there was a video that went around recently of a little girl on Santa's lap, and her mum says to Santa, like, "Oh, she's deaf." And he goes, "Oh, does she sign?" And then Santa's like signing to her and asking her what she wants for Christmas in sign language because that Santa knew how to sign.
That's so great.
Oh, it was so sweet.
All Santas should know all languages.
Agreed.
Technically.
Agreed. If you're gonna be a Santa.
That's why I was fired. I just didn't know Arabic. Could not answer.
You know how we were like, let's not fuck around this episode. Let's get straight into it.
Yeah, we've fucked around. Don't worry, all of that will be edited out. Oh. That doesn't help you getting the gig you're late for, but actually it does the exact opposite of that. Okay, good. So the Santa as he is now, he began a couple of thousand years ago, pretty much. He's like...
He's 2,000 years old.
He's something like that,
He looks pretty good.
I mean, Santa Claus isn't, but the beginning of the Santa Claus story kind of is. Okay, so I kind of like this... description I found on Snopes, it sort of sums up pretty quickly the modern Santa Claus, right? Okay, so this is the quote. Santa Claus is a hybrid, a character descended from a religious figure in St. Nicholas, whose physical appearance and backstory were created and shaped by many different hands over the course of years until he finally coalesced into a now familiar / secular character.
I gotta say sexy.
Of a jolly and sexy, rotund, red and white garbed father figure who oversees a North Pole workshop manned by elves and travels in a sleigh pulled by 8 reindeer to deliver toys to children all around the world every Christmas Eve. So that's the package.
Never heard of him.
But you'd be familiar with all those elements, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's such a massive thing, isn't
it? And it's kind of interesting where, like, bits and pieces were picked up over time. So you'd hear him referred to as Saint Nick a bit, right?
Yeah.
And that's because... And Saint Nick was a real guy. He was a real guy. A real saint guy.
What?
Yeah. Yep.
Who was this
First
Saint
fact
Nick?
I've dropped on you. How about I talk to you a little bit about St. Nicholas?
Okay.
Please do go on.
I'm going to go on, okay. So St. Nicholas was born near Myra in the ancient seaport city of Patara, which is, in modern times, is located in Turkey. So he was born around 270 or 280 AD, so that's not 2,000 years ago, but, you know.
Close.
Close-ish. If we're rounding up to the nearest thousand.
Yeah.
Which I'd like to. That's what I do in most things, day to day.
That's right. Technically, we're all 1,000 years old if we were to round up.
Dave actually weighs 1,000 kilograms.
Yeah, and technically you both owe me $1,000.
We'll talk after the show, my God.
Wow. The legend is that he gave away all of his wealth and he travelled around helping the poor and the sick. So he was a good guy. That's what the legend says anyway. I mean... I haven't met anyone who knew him, so you can't know for sure. By about the year 1200,
just a casual 1,000 years later.
1,000 years later, he became known as a patron of children and magical gift bringer because of two great stories from his life. So he had these two fables or two legends. Obviously, again, when you hear him, you're going to be like, I don't fully believe these things happened, but one of them could be true. And they were talked about by this guy, Jerry Bowler. He authored a book called Santa Claus, A Biography.
that's great.
I just love the idea that he's just like in his 50s and he still hasn't found out.
Yeah.
Still thinks it's real.
I was getting so close
to
that.
Like trying to do research at the library, like, just looking into the backstory of that really famous man, Santa Claus. And the librarian's like, oh, God.
How do we tell him?
I need to sit this guy down.
So she gives him all the books that they have on Santa Claus, and they're all kids' picture books. So now he's like, what are you hiding?
She sees them coming from the, coming through the front door. She's quickly putting him into the non-fiction. Yeah. Just scurrying.
Don't tell him. No, just leave him. Leave him.
It's a sweet thing. So one of the stories is that he saved three sisters from being sold as slaves or prostitutes by their poverty-stricken father.
God, why haven't we heard this Santa story before?
And he did that by giving them a dowry, which meant that they could be married. So he gave the dad...
Oh, wow.
It doesn't say what the dowry is. A couple of cows or something.
Sure.
Some cash.
So and he could marry them off instead of selling them.
Yeah. Which is like...
A slight upgrade.
It's a slight upgrade. But...
So he's technically sort of bought them at the same time. It's kind of weird. Anyway, okay. He's a great guy.
No, I don't think he bought them because he didn't take them. He just allowed them. I mean, and he's assuming that the dad would have done that. Not the poverty-stricken dad didn't just go, I'm still going to sell them and keep this dowry.
Yeah.
Win-win. Apart from, obviously, the three daughters of mine who are going to lose in a really big way. And that's not even funny. And I'm sorry. Okay.
I shouldn't have laughed then.
Well, they lived a long time ago. Yeah. Oh, my God. Where do you draw the line? Too soon? Another story. Apparently, that story is quite well known. I'd never heard of it.
No, I've never heard of it.
The other story was less well known. But Bowler said Bowler. Where do you get that family name from? So, Bowler said it was quite well known in the Middle Ages, though. Since then, it's dropped off.
Hear about that bloke? Yep. Bought those three girls with a dowry. Top bloke.
Top bloke. That's how they spoke in the Middle Ages.
Yeah,
that's
pretty... That's standard Turkish, I believe.
Yeah.
So this other story, Nicholas entered an inn and realised that the three boys of the owner of this inn had been murdered.
Oh.
And he pickled their dismembered bodies in brine, barrels full of brine.
Sure.
Sorry, what? Okay, I'm just going to stop you there.
He pickled them, Dave.
So he noticed someone's parents were dead, so he pickled the children?
Well, I haven't explained that very well.
No, the kids were dead.
The kids were dead. He walked
dead
in.
Dead kids!
And the dad was like, he's just hanging out with the dad, and he's like...
What's that you got over there? Well, kids.
He sent something was a bit off, and he uncovered this mystery of the bodies in the barrel, the original bodies in the barrel.
And he said, well, what you need there is some brine.
No, he resurrected them, brought them back to life.
What? Oh,
okay,
I thought you just pickled them.
So the killers pickled them.
Wait. All right, let's start that again.
The killer has pickled them.
So he's gone into...
Is the dad secretly the killer? That's what I'm worried about.
No, the dad's the killer. Yeah, the dad's the killer.
Okay, the dad pickled the kids.
The dad's pickled the kids.
And is it... And Saint Nicholas...
And Nick's like, he's coming in. Unpickle.
And is he talking...
Nicholas is like, something's
no pickle
a bit
for
off
Nickel.
Here. No pickle for Nick. He's not into it.
Hashtag, pickle for Nickel.
He had that tattooed on his neck. So that's how people knew.
And he was like, hang on, there's something a bit off with this tattoo.
Yeah. But
tattoo.
So when the dad who was into pickling his kittles, he came in and went, oh no, it's Nick, the guy who hates pickled kids. I'm in for it. But anyway, he just went, hey, that's wrong.
Don't pickle your kids.
Don't pickle your kids. It's nearly rule number one of parenthood. Don't pickle your kids.
Oh god.
And he brought them back to life.
And then what?
Then the dad probably just killed him again.
And then...
Did he sort the dad out? I want to know.
And then he pickled the dad.
Did he really?
Well, I mean, none of this actually happened, surely. I'm telling you that a real person brought some kids who were chopped up back to life.
That didn't happen?
Well, I mean, it was written down.
Prove that it didn't matter.
No, good point. Prove I can't it. Do it. So anyway, because he unpickled the kids, he became... the patron saint of children.
Pickles.
No, he was the archenemy of pickles.
And that's why
pickle for nickel.
And that's why cheeseburgers at McDonald's are served with two pieces of pickle in celebration of Saint Nickel.
Oh, you knew that. Yeah, that was the next paragraph.
Sorry.
Oh, gross.
That was the next paragraph that Jerry Bowler went on to talk about. Yeah.
Jerry on, Bowler. Jerry. Clearly, nothing wrong with him.
He's fine. Jerry's fine.
So there's two levels there. There's a guy who's just seen two, three women that are about to be sold to slavery, yes, and then he's put a dowry. And then there's a guy who's resurrected three.
Yeah, that's right. So apparently he had a lot of miracles attributed to him. He's a big miracle man. That's why, like, you used to have to, or you still might have to do at least two miracles to become a saint.
Yeah, but that's what I thought.
Or to be martyred, I think.
I thought.
I think they're the rules.
To become a saint, you have to approve to be done two miracles, I believe.
Yeah.
But giving a dowry is probably not a miracle.
Well, that wasn't, I think there was other miracles. Apparently, he had a whole bag full of miracles.
Did he only do things in groups of three, like three daughters, three sons?
Yeah, he was a big fan of three.
Saw a blind man. Not going to help you out, mate, unless you find two brothers with the same condition.
You got two blind mates? Come and see me.
Sounds more poetic that
way. You like pickles? I got heaps of them. A
couple of barrels full of pickles.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, the kids, I don't know. They were resurrected, but it didn't say anything about them being unpickled. So maybe they lived out their lives.
They're still in pieces.
Yeah.
Pickled pieces.
Pickled pieces. Oh, what a brutal existence that would have been.
No, yeah, St. Nicholas is so nice after all.
Kids would have been brutal at school, though, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. I had a hard enough time with red hair.
Jeez, imagine being pickled.
Can't imagine rocking up first day as a pickled boy.
Imagine your name rhyming with gherkin and being pickled. I'd be bloody murdered.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be merkined. Please do go on, Matt. Save me, save me.
Be merkined. Turned into a pubic.
He said save him, not make it worse.
Okay, good. Right. Yep. So he died on the 6th of December, sometime around 343, the year 343.
A good year.
How you say those years?
A good
years?
Year.
343
is fine, yeah.
Around the year 343. So the 6th of December became his feast day.
He wasn't very old then. Oh, wait. Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was
He was quite old. I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't do maths. He was very old.
And he had to have time to grow a beard. Did he have this beard that we all know?
Yeah, probably. I don't think big razors had been invented yet, yeah, so I think they all did. How did they used to shave? Rocks, I guess.
Well, they would have had knives or something, right?
Like they would have had knives. Yeah, he probably just cut them off with a knife and fork.
Just hack it off. Like a sword. They would have had swords.
Oh, they would have had swords.
Yeah, we could just use
did
that.
Did they have swords?
I don't know.
Yeah, the Romans had swords, right, Dave?
Swords have been around for many a year.
If you had a sword, you would have had smaller swords.
Just shaving swords. Just the shaving swords.
Look, I didn't research swords. barely researched Santa.
First mistake.
Probably just rub your face against a brick. You know that classic method?
That's how I do it.
Yeah, that's the old one. And God, you look great.
Thank you.
No, not a hair in sight.
At the same time. And that date, the 6th of December, was seen, and is still by some people seen as a lucky day, and a good day to get married for a long time. 6th of December.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Keep it in mind.
Because a guy died that day. It's seen as, talk about dancing on someone's grave.
Well, it's like how we celebrate Easter. Yes, Jesus
that's
died.
That's the day he rose.
Oh, yeah.
Good Friday
he died.
You know I went to Christian school.
Yeah, so did I.
All right.
I should know better.
Bloody me being the big heathen over here.
I'm just
sitting in the corner shaving with a brick. You got nothing going on.
Go back to your bricks.
St. Nicholas,
we've got the Lord.
Also,
yeah, that's right. The Lord's on your corner.
His other miracle was he would shave people at a really reasonable price. What a miracle. Only $2.
What a bargain.
Yeah, he had a huge queue every day.
To Nick's Bargain Barber.
It's got a great ring to it.
I'll shave your face and pickle your kid.
You know,
he didn't pickle the kids. I feel like you're getting tripped up on this.
No.
He resurrected.
Okay, I'll unpickle your kids.
Well, I didn't say that either.
That's right. I'll resurrect your semi-pickled kids.
I'll pick your peck of pickled peppers.
So I'll resurrect, like, you know, resurrecting sort of, it can mean, just mean like bringing it back to life, right? That's what sort of, so maybe.
So what do you mean
maybe
it can mean? Isn't that the only meaning?
It can and does mean. So maybe when he said he resurrected it, maybe he thought, you know, like you resurrect, like someone has burnt the toast and you resurrect it by scraping some of it off. Maybe he's just turned it into another meal.
You know what? Maybe they were just having a nap. You know when people sort of joke like, oh, she's resurrected if you had a really long sleep?
Yeah.
Maybe the kids are just asleep and he woke them up.
In a barrel of brine.
He just had like something just banging some pots and pans together, waking the kids up. I think we're giving him too much credit.
Yeah.
Here we are like, oh, he saved some kids' lives and unpickled them.
Well, you know what? I believe it's more likely
wake a kid up.
That in the year 300 he had pots and pans and he was banging them together. Yeah. Then he resurrected a couple of briny children in a barrel.
Mystery solved.
Oh, here's the thing. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, his existence is not attested by any historical document. So nothing certain is known about his life, apart from the fact... I love how this is written. So nothing certain is known of his life, except that he was probably Bishop of Myra in the 4th century. Nothing is certain... But this is either the way I've totally transcribed it or just written it down like an idiot. Nothing is certain.
Except a very specific fact.
Yeah. But
is
probable.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's not certain.
So he's a bishop.
So he's a bishop as well.
Cool.
What is certain is that he was probably a bishop. Okay, good.
Thank God that's cleared up.
He was buried in his church at Myra, and in the 6th century, his shrine there had become quite well known. After the first millennium, around 1087, is that what we'll call that year? Mm-hmm. 1087, Italian sailors or merchants stole his alleged remains from Myra and took them to Bari in Italy. This removal greatly increased the saint's popularity in Europe.
Ah.
Was it just a marketing campaign?
It was a marketing campaign.
It's like when the Mona Lisa went missing.
Yeah, that's
exactly. It's all. Oh, so they didn't steal his bones.
Well, they did.
Oh, they did.
They did steal his bones. Yeah, his bones were stolen, allegedly. So, I mean, they assume. I mean, this could be anyone, right? I think they think it is.
Yeah, they get in there at the crypt and there's like 100 bodies. They're like, oh, just grab the first one on the
but
right.
But he was the bishop, so I think he had a special burial spot. So it was. I think it was pretty clearly marked. It wasn't like a big pile of bishop bodies that they had to sort through.
Throw it in the bishop hole.
It became a super popular spot. There was a lot of pilgrimage there in the...
pilgrimage.
11th century.
But are people cracking the shits back at home that his body's been stolen?
I think cracking the shits was also the technical term there.
Exactly.
Yeah, they bloody cracked
and
it.
Is this in Turkey as I'm... So he was from...
He was,
in Turkey.
He was buried in Turkey.
And then
it wasn't Turkey at the time.
The merchants took him back to Italy.
Yeah, that's right.
But did he have any affinity with Italy?
Affinity?
Well, I mean, he was a Christian saint and Italy is like...
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's enough to justify getting... Yeah,
They're like, they're big into all that gear. So I think that was a big part of why... In the Middle Ages, he became the patron saint of Russia, of Greece, of charitable fraternities and guilds, of children, of sailors, which maybe is because they stole him, unmarried girls,
specific,
which I would imagine is most girls, but maybe not at the time, merchants, just in case that was who stole him.
What about unmarried female merchants?
Pawnbrokers.
Oh.
And of such cities as Freiburg in Switzerland and Moscow.
Well, am I led to believe that they're really struggling? There's not enough saints to go around
there
at the time.
There are heaps of saints, but he was very popular. Everyone wanted a piece of him. He was like the most loved saint of the time.
The Elvis Presley of saints.
For a guy who was dead 800 years, he was some... Yeah, he was the Elvis Presley of saints. If Elvis was a guy who was still popular 800 years
and
after he died.
And toilet.
Yeah. Well...
Prove that he didn't jazz.
I like this little thing I found. There was a little while in the Middle Ages where a custom came about that had a boy being elected as bishop on St. Nicholas Day, the 6th of December, and he would reign until the Feast of the Holy Innocents on December 28th.
So 22 days at the top.
A little boy would become bishop. Just at random.
Oh, that's kind of cute. I'm imagining him in his little bishop hat.
You know, like...
3 weeks.
His little bishop robe.
A big chunk of the year.
Oh, and then he has to go have a nap because he's all tired from bishoping. Oh, he's so cute.
And then what happens? They have to pickle him?
Yeah, then they throw him down the bishop, because he's not bishop anyway.
Throw him in the bishop hole.
God, imagine peaking at like 6 years old. You know? Like, you'll never be better than that.
Oh my God.
Imagine that, Dave. Where were you at 6 years old?
I kind of peaked at 18.
These are the child stars of the 14th century.
Yeah. Wow.
Then they just get into drugs, obscurity.
Then they do a nude shoot. Because they feel like it'll help their image, like as an adult, like stop thinking of me as a child. But it's just worse. It makes it so much worse.
Sometimes it pays off, sexifying yourself. Miley Cyrus did it.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the?
It didn't work for Nikki Webster.
Justin,
you know?
Timberlake, did he do it?
He was a
Disney guy, and he began sexifying himself. No, justifying himself.
Another surefire way to get yourself back onto the main stage,
yeah,
just to justify your talent. Yeah.
Just be talented.
Who else? It's got to have worked for some people. Child stars have made it as adult stars. Miley Cyrus.
Well,
Justin Timberlake.
Sure. Ryan Gosling.
Oh, he was a child.
He was once a child.
He performed in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, that was where Juzzy T was from as well.
Yeah, yeah.
No shit.
I don't think he's ever been referred to as Juzzy T ever.
Well,
which
he
I love
because I have a lot. Juzzy T.
Oh, Juzzy.
Well, that's weird. What do you call him? Anyway, off topic.
Probably, I call him Justin Timberlake personally. That's what I call him.
When I'm on the phone to him,
yeah. Hello, Justin Timberlake, and he's like, "Just you can just call me Justin." I'm like, "Nah."
Nah, I like saying it out loud when I'm
Juzzy T.
Just call me Juzzy T.
Matt does.
I shan't be doing that, Justin Timberlake. Thank you.
I like saying it out loud when I'm in public, so people know I'm on the phone to you,
and,
Justin Timberlake.
And please also refer to me only as Jessica Ann Elizabeth Perkins III. Thank you. I'm not really a third, but I add it. Matt's face lit up just then.
Well, it just made me think you'd work really well in a St. Nicholas miracle scheme.
Yeah.
There's three of you.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point, but no.
Are your ancestors still kicking?
No.
Nah, well, maybe he can bring them back to life. Put them into a nice burger or something.
Pickle. Okay.
All right. After the Protestant Reformation... which is a big thing in the church. St. Nick's popularity started to wane. Basically, all the saints did. They stopped lifting up the saints. It was about God and Jesus now.
Forget the saints.
All the humans can get fucked.
We're taking it back to the basics.
Yeah.
The big two.
So, yeah, St. Nick lost out in popularity there.
Yeah, he lost to God.
Yeah, God.
Well, you've got to be beaten by someone.
I'd happily lose to God.
Yeah, I reckon he probably would have too. Like, if he really was a guy who cared about that stuff,
he'd
I reckon
like,
he would have
good.
Been like, yeah, that probably makes
good
sense.
Good decision, yeah.
For a while there, he was bigger than Jesus, but then St. Nick.
Yeah.
Bloody. Catches up with you.
And this happened nearly all the way through Europe. He went from being talked about a lot. His death date was celebrated. It was his feast day, they called it. There's a bit of spin there. Death date. And, but... Yeah, all of a sudden, nearly instantly, it dropped off.
Even Russia dropped him.
Even Russia, but the Netherlands did not.
They never lost faith in him.
Netherlands stuck on, and that is where Sinterklaas came about. Which is kind of the Dutchifying of the name St. Nicholas.
And when's this?
This is in the last 1,000 years.
That's fine. We only ran up to the thousands in this podcast.
That's
anyway,
what I'm saying,
so. Yep, great. I'm on board.
We're not about specifics in this fact-based podcast.
Oh, no, my God.
No.
Sinterklaas. Is also known as these three other names in the Netherlands. See if you can guess what they translate to. The Sint?
The Saint.
Saint.
Correct. All right, good.
Was that it? No.
The Good Sint?
The good saint.
Yes.
Ooh,
very
good.
Good.
Oh, God, do you speak Dutch?
I do, actually. Yeah. I've traveled.
I might not be pronouncing them perfectly.
No, nah,
Richard. And thirdly, another.
What is rule three? Okay.
Rule three.
And look at how many people present this podcast.
He was also a really good stand-up comedian.
Yeah, he knew about the rule of three.
Yeah. And thirdly, the good Heiligman.
Sorry, how do you spell the Heilig part of this?
H-E-I-L-I-G. The G might be signed.
The good heilig man.
The
holy?
Good yes, the good holy man. I reckon I could speak Dutch.
It's pretty
based
good,
on
isn't
that.
It?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Sinterklaas. I'd like to think that's how it's pronounced.
Hmm.
Good. Sinterklaas is celebrated annually with the giving of gifts to children either on the eve or the morning of the 6th of December. So still on his feast date. And according to Wikipedia, I know we don't always like to use Wikipedia, but according to Wikipedia, Sinterklaas is an elderly, stately and serious man with white hair and a long full beard.
Serious?
Serious. Yeah, aww. That was the nearly the only reason I read out that quote. Because it was just like, yeah, that's not what you think of. Like, it's
no, you wouldn't think
Santa
serious.
Claus is the ho ho ho.
Hey,
jolly.
I suppose he's a great businessman. So,
good
yeah,
point,
true.
Good point.
I mean, we all you have to be serious sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can still be fun and serious.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
He's serious when it counts.
Yeah.
Do you
tough
guys?
But fair. I like
yeah.
to think.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
Do you guys know how Sinterklaas arrives in the Netherlands? He arrives in November.
Oh no, he gets lost.
And but that he comes via steamboat from Spain.
Wait. So is Sinterklaas Spanish, or is that just where his headquarters?
That's
are?
Sort of like where he's. I think that's yeah, a bit of both. I think that's where
yeah,
they believe he
the
is
labor
from.
Was much cheaper in Spain. Yeah. So.
And that's where yeah. So
wow. Then again, like, what nationality do we think Santa Claus is? Like, he doesn't have a nationality.
Some sort of Scandinavian thing.
He's
I
a
imagine.
Citizen of the world.
Yeah, that's right. So it's funny, just like such an old school. Because you know, a lot of the traditions are just like this is whatever was the cool mode of transport when we've invented this thing.
Yeah, a sleigh.
And now that's the tradition.
Yeah.
No, so, this is on about you to see him. Hola, me llamo Santa.
Do you guys know about Sinterklaas's sidekick?
Oh, please tell me he's a little Spanish dog.
No.
Is it Dora the Explorer?
No, it's
come on, that's
more controversial than that.
You bastard.
Adora the Explorer.
Who is this controversial
sidekick? Sorry, I'm just trying to get on a serious tone because it's kind of a controversial sidekick.
Oh God, no. Is it a bit racial?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
It dates back to the early 19th century, so not all that old. And his name is, I'm going to have a crack at the pronunciation, Zwart Piet.
Zwart Piet.
Or the plural Zwarte Pieten.
There's two of him.
And Zwart, there could be many. It sort of feels like very similar
like
to the elves.
Elf,
yeah.
Elf type like things.
Zwart, but often it's just the one, like it'll just be the two of them or sure. How they get about. That's I think that's where it came from. But the Zwart Piet is commonly portrayed by a man in blackface.
Oh, okay.
Some say the blackface is because he's being depicted as a Moor from Spain. which certainly doesn't make it any better. And others say that it is because his face has been covered by chimney soot.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with option two, I reckon.
He just hasn't washed his face.
Yeah.
He's just a dirty little boy.
He's too busy.
makes you feel so uncomfortable.
Too busy putting coal in that steamboat.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, there's something. It's so weird. It's like such a white country, or traditionally the Netherlands, and it's just like, anyway. Sinterklaas and Zwart Piet are typically depicted carrying a bag which contains candy for nice children and a broom used to spank bad kids.
So not doesn't even leave. I thought it was going to like it leaves brooms for the naughty kids, so they have to like clean up. But I was like, "Come on, come here! No, you're getting your spank."
He does the job himself.
Candy for you. I'll beat you in your bed.
So it's kind of admirable in a way. Instead of just leaving coal, he gets the job done. Just give him a little whack.
Yeah, but I imagine the parents, especially the poorer families, are like, probably would love some coal.
Yeah,
it's really cold.
Yeah, good point.
It does seem like a lot of this tradition goes back to parents just wanting to make their kids behave.
Mm.
Like, Santa Claus is the same. He knows who's been naughty and nice, sort of thing. And I guess that's where it comes from.
That's omitted third verse about beating you with a little broom handle.
Yeah.
He knows where your mum keeps the broom.
So, yeah, bloody hell. Do yourself a favour.
He won't hold back with force.
Brooms are big.
Yeah, brooms are to hit hard. With. It probably gets a good like swing too.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
man.
It's like a real run up. Like watching a kid.
His steamboat is just fueled by broken broomsticks. Allegedly. A bunch of
this is all allegedly.
I'm not going to get in trouble here.
Admittedly, none of this is. Well, obviously, that's fact.
Yeah.
A bunch of the tradition, the St. Nicholas Sinterklaas tradition, is thought to have come from the legend of Odin.
So, great, yes. Odin's beard.
So all of it, the beard, for instance, the big white flowing beard. Some say that, so a few different things got merged together at some point in the past, like including, Old Norse legend and stuff like that as well. Some of the similarities that are found on, I think it was again on Wikipedia, were between St. Nick and Odin. And these things were supposedly happening when Christianity spread through Europe. So Europe had their, their gods.
Mm.
And then Christianity came through and they sort of held on to some things. A lot of Christmas is just goes back well beyond Christianity. So here are some of the things that are similar between Odin and Sinterklaas. They both ride on the rooftops on a white horse. So that the Sinterklaas is on a white horse.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hang on, what happened to the boat?
He leaves the boat.
Yeah,
the boat
with his big white horse that can fly.
Flying white horse.
Seems weird. Like, why don't you just take the flying horse?
I suppose it might get tired.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah, true. It's a long way. And if he's just going from like rooftop to rooftop, then the horse gets a chance to sort of have a break.
Yeah, but you got to fly from Spain. That's like a couple of thousand kilometers.
Yeah, that's too far. No, absolutely. You need the boat for that one.
It's a while.
That's why. Steamboat. Fastest mode of transportation. Basically a cruise ship. Sinterklaas gives chocolate letters to children. And Odin gave rune letters to man.
I mean,
longer bow.
I'm a big chocolate fan, but I've never had a chocolate letter. What's that? It's a letter filled with chocolate?
No, it's just a
like the letter M or a letter.
That's how I read it.
Or is it like the Ten Commandments on concrete? Is it like a letter on chocolate?
Oh man, that'd be delicious.
Like, dear Jess.
How good would a couple of tablets of chocolate? I'm so hungry right now.
Yeah,
for
but
chocolate.
Then would you eat it? What if it was a really nice letter?
Oh,
I'd definitely eat it. It would last about 5 seconds.
Okay.
I would eat it.
Never writing you a letter on chocolate.
Yeah. Don't waste your chocolate. No. Don't waste it.
Just write you a bloody letter on paper like a schmuck.
Send me a text and give us a block of Cadbury and I'll be really happy.
Okay.
And the third one was that they both carry a staff and have mischievous helpers. One of them, guards with black faces, and the other one,
I'm waiting.
Black ravens.
Oh.
So Odin had black ravens, and
offensive.
Huggin and Munnin, that's not how they pronounce. And they both of those crews would report back to their master and tell what the people were doing. Were they being good or were they being bad?
Oh, so they're spying.
Yeah, they're spies.
So that's how he was finding out.
Yeah, yeah, that was the thing that they
little
did.
Zwart Piet sort of peering at you through the window. They're kind of like the SS Gestapo of the
is that what the 14th elves
century.
No.
Elves don't. How does Santa know?
He just knows.
He knows.
He's
way
always
more efficient.
Yeah.
Way more. If you're going to make something up,
just make it magical.
Just make it the guy knows everything.
Yeah. Otherwise, kids are just going to be scared of ravens.
Yeah.
Well, would you if you're in you the
days
be.
Of Odin. Yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of my super superficial little rundown of Sinterklaas. So how do we get from Sinterklaas to Santa Claus?
That's the ultimate question.
Invent the letter A.
Yeah, that was it. That's it. All right, let's wrap it up.
End of pod. Thanks, everyone.
Nearly
every episode at some point, I think it's usually me, isn't it? Just like, and we're done. See you later, yeah. Everybody.
All right.
Jess just likes to wrap it up really quick.
She's always got somewhere to be.
I'm a very busy lady.
I don't, so I demand you go on every time.
I'm
she
sorry,
catches
I'll stop
her
doing that.
Steamboat onto her next gig.
Doot, doot. It's my little tugboat. Dog, dog, dog.
Tugboats.
So the Dutch brought the Sinterklaas tradition to America with them in the late 1700s. Hmm. Makes sense. It was their thing. They just brought it out with them, and there was a big Dutch settlement called New Amsterdam. You heard of that?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of it.
Well, I've heard of it in the sense that there's a restaurant here in Melbourne called New Amsterdam.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's a bar.
A bar, yeah.
Apparently that was what New York City was originally called. Or that was where, yeah.
And so where they settled is now New York City.
Yeah, on Manhattan was New Amsterdam.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it feels like the Dutch just got everywhere and went, nah, not into it. And then
bailed.
The British or whoever. That's what happened in Australia, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just don't like
Van Diemen's Land and stuff. Yeah.
Well, they probably thought this is a long way for Sinterklaas to go on a steamboat from Spain. I mean,
he already has to get to the Netherlands in November just to get around to everybody. If he's got to then like turn around.
I love how he gets there early, and he parades in the streets apparently.
Yeah,
on the white horse.
See, Santa Claus is more humble. You know, he just kind of drops in, does his thing, and then he's like, no fuss.
As a kid. Yeah. Did anyone explain away why Santa Claus is in every shopping centre? I don't remember that being explained.
The H word, helpers.
Yeah,
that's what they gave me as well.
That's
just a Santa helper.
Yeah. You believed he was real until you figured out that it wasn't possible and you asked the question. And then just to boost, give you another couple of years because you're pretty much onto it at that point.
Yeah. But you think if you're too onto it, then you won't get presents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was
worried. Plus, you want to believe.
I wanted to believe so hard. I was told...
It's fun.
In early primary school, I remember a kid saying to me, oh, bloody saw my parents give me the Santa... I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, it was my dad, Santa. It's just our parents.
Oh, come on.
And I go to him, this isn't how I found out. I mean, this isn't how I first believed. Because I said to him...
Mate.
I fully believed in Christianity at the time. I was a big Jesus guy. As a 6-year-old or 5-year-old. And I said, if you don't believe in Santa Claus, then you don't believe in Jesus.
Oh,
do you not believe in Jesus, John?
Sounds like a Bible parable.
You're so preachy.
I love the...
Like,
no.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and he's like, well... Anyway,
I definitely saw my parents doing it, so...
And John's like,
well, did you?
I don't think you did, John.
What a fuck. I was such a fucker.
But John's like, I've never caught my dad dressing up as Jesus. So, yeah, he exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just Santa, mate.
But I feel I believed on for a few years after that.
Good on you for persevering.
I think I loved it so much that I just, yeah. And I believed in Jesus until I was like 16. So that even longer than when I was.
John comes down and goes, oh. You never believe what I saw on the bloody weekend.
Yeah.
It's just Dad.
Your dad is Jesus.
God damn it, John.
That was when he was
14. That frees me of a lot of guilt. That's great. All right.
Oh, that Catholic guilt.
As a 16-year-old, yeah. All right. So, yeah, I guess you can... It's obviously not a huge leap from Sinterklaas to Santa Claus. So I think it was just sort of the anglification of his name. But the evolution of Santa still had ages to go because it was still this guy who was on a white horse... Who was a serious guy, and had blackface helpers, which is, yeah. Anyway, but a big thing, probably the biggest thing that shaped our modern vision of Santa Claus, happened in 1822. Do you know Clement Clark Moore?
It's a great name.
He wrote a Christmas poem for his children called An Account of a Visit from St. Nicholas.
It's a very boring title.
It is. It's now better known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Much better ring to it.
Much better.
So I didn't realize that, but everything in that poem was basically the first time. It's true. I didn't realize. But yeah, that is a factual account of a night.
Before Christmas.
Yeah. So a lot of the things in that poem was just from his fantasy and a few things he just sort of picked up from different bits and pieces and brought them all together. So that was the first time he was called Jolly. It was a right jolly old elf. So, but he was seen as being an elf, like a small guy at this stage in this poem.
Oh, wow. So Santa was small.
Yeah. But after this poem, but not long after that he became the fully grown human man. And the
he grew up.
Magic man. Yeah, yeah. So in this poem, he had a portly figure. He was delivering presents on Christmas Eve with 8 flying reindeer and the ability to ascend a chimney. So he was, he came up with the reindeer, basically.
I feel like Dave's the kind of guy who can name all the reindeer.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Because I don't think I can. I reckon you can do it.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donna, and Blitzen. But do you recall? That's right, I had to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when I was dressed in the fat suit.
Of course you did.
So that's what I know them all.
That was it, in order.
Well done.
And so he, our man,
oh, so it was Clement
Clark Moore.
He named him?
He named him. That's where the names come from.
That, wow. Now that is a legacy.
That's pretty cool.
That's great,
yeah.
Right? But the original ones were called Dunder and Blixen.
Oh.
And they've been changed to Donna and Blitzen over time, probably because they sound slightly more like real words.
Dunder.
Yeah, that's right. Clement, come on, mate.
Come on, pull your head out of your ass.
You nearly got it there.
I mean, you're making up all this bullshit anyway, but come on, make it believable, would you? Dunder, not a name.
Dunder.
Never heard of it.
Dunderstruck.
That particular idea has an electric guitar.
Then So he's seen as one of the main guys who created this modern vision of Santa. The other guy was a political cartoonist named Thomas Nast.
Nasty.
Yeah, nasty to his birds.
Yeah. His bros.
In 1881, he drew a cartoon that is the first representation, supposedly, of what we see as the modern Santa Claus. So his cartoon appeared in the publication Harper's Weekly. And it depicted Santa as a rotund, cheerful man with a full white beard holding a sack of toys. So here's the question. Who came up with the red colour of Santa's getup?
I believe it may be...
The government.
It's
the man.
Is it a very...
Which government?
American.
Which administration?
Oh, Nixon.
Yes, it was Nixon.
It's Nixon. His time at the top. I declare
that was what Watergate was all about.
My time at the top, like a red Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I think it may be a very successful American company.
Hallmark.
Possibly.
It was Hallmark.
A drinks company, is it?
Coca-Cola.
Is it Coca-Cola?
That apparently, I fully believe that, but apparently that is a myth.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Apparently,
really?
Apparently so it was Nixon.
Apparently it was our man Nast had a lot to do with it.
Nasty.
Nasty.
I'm a big fan of Snopes. Whenever I hear something that I'm not
Snopes.
You know Snopes.com? It's like a
myth busting.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So whenever you see something that's gone viral, before I'm like, that seems too good to be true or too fucked to be true or something like that, I'm like, I can't just enjoy this.
Yeah.
Do you just go into Snopes and you type in, is Steve Irwin dead?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he is. Okay. Yes, okay. I can, put the profile picture up. Here it goes.
That's right. Me and Steve.
You and Steve that
and
time.
A stingray.
Your time at the top.
And a stingray.
Oh, God.
Too soon, Matt. Nah, he's been dead for ages.
Nah, he's been dead for, he died in 2006.
That was a good year.
Rocky also died that year.
Oh, God. Not
I
a good
repeat.
Year for
good, no.
Not a good year for big Aussies.
Good year. 10 years next year. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I'm assuming we'll have a public holiday.
Oh, bloody hell.
Irwin Day.
Well, don't you have that? We have that feast every year. It's like St. Nicholas.
Yeah, that's the. Isn't it, doesn't it feel like you'd go the birthday?
Yeah, you'd probably.
So. I don't know if they knew what day it was. I guess.
Hmm.
They probably, because there's no official record.
Hmm.
Did he even exist?
We're still talking about Steve Irwin, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Did he exist? Nobody knows.
So I'll just read another quote directly off Snopes, if you don't mind. This is when Please. I looked up their Coca-Cola did Coke. Because the idea was that Coke's famous red colored cans and bottles back
That's
then.
That's what I assumed until I was snoped.
So this is what they said. It is not true in any realistic sense that Coca-Cola created the modern Santa Claus. They did not invent the now familiar rotund bearded fellow clothed in red and white garb, nor did they pluck him from a pantheon of competing visually different Christmas time figures and what a great way with words they have at Snow.
Pantheon.
Figures and elevate him to the supreme symbol of Christmas gift giving. The red and white Santa figure existed long before Coca-Cola began featuring him in print advertisements, and he had already supplanted a bevy of competitors to become the standard representation of Santa Claus before he began his tenure as a pitchman for Coke.
Snoped.
He got snoped, or Coke got snoped. But yeah, it's...
Coped.
I think that is I reckon that is a really widely held belief that Coke did come up. Definitely. I fully believe
it. But once you say it, I'm like, oh yeah, that would make sense. Like, I would believe that.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Because I think they used him in their advertising a lot, and I reckon it definitely helped push it along as being... right in the middle of the
zeitgeist.
I was going to say zeitgeist. I'm going, should I have a crack at zeitgeist? It's one of those words.
Mate, you've nailed Sinterklaas today. True. So you're zeitgeist. On fire.
All right, great.
You've fluently spoken Dutch today.
According to Britannica again.
I mean, I think this show might need a translation. So much Dutch.
Yeah. Look,
for our international listeners.
Well, all right. I'll say this in what I assume is Dutch. Accounting to Britannica.
That's super racist.
Okay, good. At a point. I feel it's funny how things don't feel racist when it's about a wealthy white
country,
nation.
Yeah, yeah.
I think doing an impression of...
But here's my Vietnamese impression. Yeah. Racist.
I don't think that's racial. You're just not as talented as accents as I am. As you may have heard my terrible Richard Nixon impression about 5 seconds ago.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was.
And your Santa Claus accent, as you said before.
Apparently Scottish. Was not even trying for that. Was not. That's how good I am.
You don't even try.
I won't even try.
You don't have to try on your nail.
I don't even have to try my racism.
It comes naturally.
Exactly.
I'm a natural racist.
Let's edit that out of context.
Yep.
So according to Britannica, Nass was the one who gave Santa his bright red suit trimmed with white fur. Also, he gave gave Santa the North Pole workshop. He gave him elves, and he gave him his wife, Mrs. Claus.
He gave him a lot.
It's very generous.
Isn't that crazy? A political cartoonist had... It would have just a thing he did one day.
Yeah, he just whipped it up.
Wouldn't have thought it would have had any sort of lasting imprint, but it changed everything.
That's his, like, a huge legacy.
Yeah. Nasty man. I found this kind of interesting. I looked up on the Coca-Cola website to see if they were at all claiming it, and they also said that it wasn't them. But they did say...
wasn't me.
In 1942... In 1942, Coca-Cola... So this is off the Coke website. They introduced the character along with their Santa in their advertisement called Sprite Boy.
Ooh. They weren't very creative, were they?
That sounds like a character I could play.
I was going to say, Sprite Boy, that's the title for you.
But this was this is in 1942, and that character appeared with Santa Claus in their ads throughout the 40s and 50s.
It's Sprite Boy.
And Sprite
Boy. The year is 1942. Oh, look, here's Santa Claus and his friend Sprite Boy.
And he got his name due to the fact that he was a sprite or an elf.
Yeah, okay.
And it wasn't until the 60s that Coke even introduced the popular beverage Sprite.
Oh, it was pre-Sprite. So,
yeah, it was pre-Sprite.
So
I thought
Sprite
it was just a horrible...
Sprite is named after an elf.
Yeah.
You used to think it was a horrible tie-in.
I thought it was a horrible tie-in.
Did you want me to do some more of my 1940s announcer voice?
Yes, please. Tell us about his little baby friend, Lift.
And Fanta. I'm not doing it.
So that's pretty much all I was going to chat about Santa. There are so many other...
La Bofana? Bofana, I think, is the Italian. It's a woman.
Oh, she's so good. And she's really? Like a she's like a little hunched she's like over a little, lady.
She's like a nonna.
Yeah, I love it.
And I'm pretty sure she gives presents, but I think there might also be food involved because Italian.
There's this one that I really like.
They get presents and bread.
That also came in...
I think it's La Bofana. I'm sorry if I said that wrong to any Italians. I might Google while you finish.
Yeah, you Google.
I don't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah. So there was... there's this one guy, Christ Kind. Maybe Chris Kind.
I thought you were about to say Christ Boy.
Christ Boy, which is basically what it is.
Oh my God, really?
Befana.
It's basically, yeah, just a kind of like a godchild or something like that. Little Jesus, aka.
Oh man, this is another character I'm born to play. Christ Boy. Is it Christ Boy? What's his name?
Christ Kind.
Christ Kind.
And he came about as well because of the Protestant Reformation in 16th/17th century Europe. And that was because they didn't want to be, you know, they were taken. They didn't want to be concerned with the saints. They weren't boosting up the saints, celebrating the saints. They wanted just to be Christ and God and stuff. So it ended up being, that's when it changed from December 6th to Christmas Eve in a lot of places. Like the gift-giving changed.
Oh.
And a little boy, Christ Kind, came around and...
Creepy.
Dropped presents on you. Apparently,
boom.
Yeah, boom.
And I'm gone.
Catchphrase of Christ Boy. Yeah. Boom, man, I'm gone.
Tonka truck for you, Matt, and I'm gone.
What do I get? What do I get, Dave? What do I get, Christ Boy?
You want that racer scooter? Uh-oh, and I'm gone.
I just said, uh-oh.
And I'm gone. Boom. You got Christ.
See, I told you, I've just got this gift for accents. It's
you
amazing.
Do. Character do you know, work is really, oh, wow. It's your strength.
Do you know what, I don't know, so hopefully you know. Do you know Father Christmas, the British one?
Mm.
What was his catchphrase? What does he say when he drops off the... Jess, you'd know. You've got a British connection.
Daddy's home.
Yeah, I knew I'd remember it as soon as
I
said it.
It's not great. I panicked.
Surely it's just a Merry Christmas and a few hoes.
I feel like Daddy's home slightly better.
Daddy's home is correct.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry.
But yeah, he...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's British. Daddy's home. Still doing the really gangster hand gestures, though. Daddy's home, motherfuckers.
Daddy's home. Oh, daddy. Daddy's home.
Cool, blimey, daddy's home.
Home for Christmas.
Daddy's home, isn't he?
Home from Oxford for Christmas.
So Father Christmas is the English one. It has no real connection at all to the Santa Claus story. It's a separate one, but now over time the two have kind of merged together.
People are doing a bit of
Father
story.
Christmas has taken all like Santa Claus has kind of got a bit of globification going on. Globification?
Sure.
Globalization. Yeah, oh my God.
It's all good.
I was about to say goblification.
That's right. Globalization. Santa is the number six cause for CO2 gas emissions.
Yeah.
Terrifying the planet.
So Father Christmas started a separate thing in the around 1,000 years ago, and
Daddy's home.
And he used to say Daddy's home, but over time that's been Americanified, and
Beatles
now it's
voice.
Daddy's home, more American.
That's Daddy.
Daddy's home.
Daddy's home.
Hey, Daddy's home, children.
Okay, accents are not your strength.
Hey there. Hey there,
oh, howdy, partner.
No. Alrighty.
No, okay.
Okie dokie, kitty.
Okay, I'm going
to... Okie dokie, kitty. Get around me now.
You're going to...
Hold your beer for a couple of tweez there for your caddies.
Oh, is that Irish? Good
Irish.
Oh, dearie me.
Well, you've really scared a lot of generations around the world.
Mm. Okie dokie.
Now you're a bit Canadian.
Okie dokie. I'm just south of the Canadian border.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Not good. Now I'm just worried Matt's having a stroke and we're just laughing.
I know. He's trying to get
Matt, you're
to
right?
help him.
Get in the car.
Get in the car.
Get in the car.
What's the Australian Santa? Santa.
Santa.
And what would he say? What's his Santa. What's his thing?
All right.
Righto.
Righto.
Yeah, he says,
Tasha, get in the car.
Prancer.
I'll just be a GIF.
Get in the fucking car.
Get in the car. Here we go.
Yeah.
Start her up.
All
right.
She'll
be fucking right.
She'll be right.
I'm a couple hours behind schedule. She'll be right.
Yeah, so I've found that interesting. I just thought Father Christmas and Santa Claus was the same thing.
Yeah,
but apparently it's slowly becoming the same thing, but he started in a totally different spot.
Oh, that's interesting.
I just want to say, wouldn't it be so weird if you overlook all the other changes for you to come back to life in about 1800 years' time and your life story has slowly evolved into the millions, billions around the world celebrate it, and then people dress up in shopping centres.
Yeah.
And you're like, that doesn't even fucking look like me. Yeah.
That has nothing to do with me, but why are they calling you my name?
And they're like, yeah, and it's all come from you. So I suppose if you were...
Because one time...
If you put together
some briny boys.
That's right. You put them back together. You do one fucking miracle, and they're still talking about you in 1800 years' time.
Oh, let it go, people. Let it go.
Come on. I did other stuff. I was a bishop. I was probably a bishop.
That's the only thing I know for sure about myself.
But probably a bishop.
It was a long time ago. I got a pretty bad memory.
Is there anything else? Do you have any other knowledge? Like, I've found that I didn't know anything about any of that.
Yeah.
I assumed it went way back, not just a couple hundred years to New York City.
New York.
Is where a lot of that stuff came, is less than 200 years old. The red suit, the flying reindeers.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how it spreads. Like, it starts with something so small and then, you know, now it's just what we accept.
And it just, because it so happened in this, like, relatively small period where the US was the dominant cultural power, like, in the history of the world, that's only going to be a blip. But because it was a blip at that time, maybe it's going to morph again. Maybe when China just dominates us with their culture, it'll become, like, it'll change again over the years.
Yeah, maybe.
I wonder.
I'm pretty sure that Santa is the most frequently appearing character in movies.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Like on IMDb, he's got like 800 something crazy. It's hundreds.
Tim Allen in The Santa Claus.
Great movie.
Sorry, 1, 2, 3 credits right there.
Did you want to, because you asked before how we found out.
Yes, I thought that'd be a nice way to finish.
Mine's a little bit, it's not that interesting. It's that I found the wrapping paper that was used on the Christmas presents in the cupboard. And I was like, hang on a sec.
That's great.
What are the chances that Mum and Santa shop at the same place?
Hang on, the North Pole's a long way away. They wouldn't have this paper there, surely.
Yeah. And my brother's 7 years older than me too, so he had to keep it. He had to just keep a lid on it for a long time.
How old were you?
I reckon I was probably 7 or 8.
So he's...
Is that old to have found out?
Not as old as me.
I reckon I had my suspicions, but that's sort of when I went to Mum, like, Mum, come on, tell me. I'm a big girl now.
I was not a big girl until I was 10.
You found out at 10? That's all right.
Well, I was, I reckon for 2 Christmases beforehand, I thought about it.
You had your suspicions.
I had suspicions, but I, like you, Matt, I wanted it to be real, and I remember exactly where I was. Took Mum aside into her ensuite off the master bedroom.
He's from the affluent east. So
oh, no, my parents have always had an ensuite.
Oh, my God. You're also from the affluent east.
Took her aside, and I closed the door. She was probably thinking that I was about to ask, like, a question about what sex or where babies come from, but I was like, Mum, is Santa real? And I was hoping that she was going to be like, of course it is. And I'd be like, great, run away. Yeah. Never ask him. She's like, I'm afraid not.
Oh.
And it was bloody heartbreaking.
Amanda.
Yeah, that's tricky.
That's right.
It feels like...
No, she did the right thing though.
She probably did. I would have asked a follow-up question before giving. I would have said,
Why do you ask?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What's John been saying now?
Yeah. Bloody John. But your sister, you have an older sister,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's 3 years older.
So she was early teens
by this stage.
Yeah. Matt, how
and
did
I
you...
nearly spoiled it for my cousins one Christmas.
Oh, you got to be careful.
When I was about 14, and they're like between two of them, between 8 and like 11 years younger. So, you know, they're 6 and 3 or something. And then they're like, maybe I was 13 and they... Because I wasn't trying to be a dickhead about it, but they were like, oh, this one's from Santa. And I'm like, haha, good one. Santa isn't real. And they're like, shut up, shut up, They didn't ruin it for him.
That's but you nearly did.
Oh, I'd be feeling so guilty if I had.
See, on Mum's side of the family, there's 12 grandkids, and I'm 3rd. So, like, it was my job to shut the middle ones up so they didn't say anything to the little ones.
Yeah.
So they'd they'd kind of, look what Santa brought. And they'd do the eye rolling and stuff, and I would just punch them. I was like, you shut up. You don't ruin it for the little ones.
Yeah.
It is a mean thing. But then I thought, because I really genuinely never feel that excited, and it feels like this real magic thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like the gift of that is bigger than the fucking them over by lying to them.
And all of us have turned out fine.
Yeah.
It's not like a thing you're hurting them with a lie.
And I used to like lose my shit because we'd leave out a carrot.
Yeah.
And then like that mum
a bite or two.
Yeah. And so you'd be like, oh, the reindeer's ate the carrot. I left Santa a letter. He read it.
Doesn't that make looking.
And I'm gone.
I ate your cookies and I'm gone.
Dad is gone. Is that what he said? As he
yeah,
left?
Probably. Yeah.
Dad is home.
Daddy's gone. Daddy's gone.
But that, don't you think that makes it even cooler to think back and go, like all the little efforts that your parents put in?
And I reckon I checked funnier. The bin too. So I reckon they would have either had to eat it or dispose of it very craftily.
You were totally the opposite of me because I'm like going, Closure, I believe in it. It's definitely true. Not looking for any evidence to prove otherwise. But I remember one time, which I thought funny years later when I thought back to it, Dad's like, oh, I reckon Santa might want a Guinness tonight.
Oh, well played, Dad.
Yeah, well played. Yeah, and it was one of his Guinnesses.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, you didn't have to go out and buy a Guinness, but Dad was like, I don't want to drink the milk or pour it out because that's wasteful. So just leave Santa a Guinness.
Yeah. Pretty sure Santa wants some of the black stuff this year, Matt.
He's had a long night, you know, like he's got a...
And you're thinking...
Can't just be all sugar and milk.
Is he under 0.05? Drink and drive, Santa. Bloody idiot.
Magic reindeer. They know where they're going.
They're fine. But it's put into autopilot.
So I was told, I reckon I was about five or six when John told me on the quadrangle.
Yeah, what's John doing now? Probably in prison.
I think he's doing pretty well. I've had nothing to do with
him. He's in prison.
I'm sure he's doing quite well.
He's in prison. Or dead. Or both.
Yeah.
He's in prison about to be dead when the inmates undoubtedly listen to this podcast and they're like, John, you ruined Christmas. I'm a shank you in
John,
the showers
later. That's a pretty specific name. That must be you.
I don't know many Johns. Anyway, Matt, sorry, do go on.
So I reckon little things like that happen and I would have seen, I reckon one time I saw a present that coincidentally was in my Santa's pillowcase. We weren't from the Afflonace. You probably had stockings. We just used upturned.
The Santa sack, thank you. And my brother's was bigger than mine, and it shat me for so many years. Yeah, my brother's sack was bigger than mine.
And it shat you. My brother's big sack.
Gave me
the shits. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a sentence I thought I'd hear before
Christmas.
That's
being edited out and...
back in.
You know, a little tidbit somewhere else. Anyway,
you kept denying it to yourself.
I kept denying it, and I'm still fully blessed, and Christmases were good, so good. Mm-hmm. And I reckon my younger brother might have even caught on before I did.
How much younger?
And he's like nearly 3 years younger than me.
That's so great.
But the time I found out, I was in grade 4, so it would have been...
9 or 10?
Yeah, probably around 10.
Yeah.
That's right, that's when the real men find out, Matt.
And we got back in from lunch, and Miss Xavier...
Oh, no.
Said to the class, now, obviously you're all old enough and smart enough to know that Santa doesn't exist.
Oh,
right?
What
a teacher!
Bitch.
Well, you would get letters from parents these days if that happened.
Facebook posts from parents.
Oh, straight onto the school Facebook page.
That's out. No.
Sure. Obviously. And
then
that
makes you feel like an idiot.
Yeah, did you just have to like try and like hide?
I was totally like that. I remember the class was just like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like,
choking back tears.
Not an idiot, Ms. Xavier. Why are you even asking?
Oh God! If anyone should be dead now, it's that woman.
Now I'm also imagining Matt as a 10-year-old, but just a smaller version, like beard and all, just like a tiny little beard.
Crying
at 10-year-old.
Into your beard,
and like his voice is that deep at 10 as well. Did you have glasses when you were little as well?
Nah, the glasses were later. I've only had them in the last couple of years.
Okay.
I held off.
Oh my God, so cute.
That's an awful story.
Yeah, that's really sad. I
feel sorry
I hope
for
Miss
you.
Xavier is out there, and I hope she's dead.
Yeah. I hope she's in prison.
I hope she's dead.
She's out there.
That's
in a shallow
monster. I hope, and I hope she didn't die of natural causes. I hope she met a really disturbing end. I hope an ex-husband came back for her. I hope she was stalked and murdered.
You can't say that.
Merry Christmas. what a lovely way to finish.
It's Dave's face.
Well,
I'm joking. Well,
I'm pretty much joking, probably.
One thing I know for certain is that I'm probably joking.
You were probably a bishop or joking. Well, that is the end of our...
I can't actually wrap up, sorry.
Well, I can't believe we've come to the end of our first ever Christmas special, guys.
Oh, first of many, hopefully.
Thank you so much.
I put it up there with the Alf Christmas special, where he's mistaken for a toy and given to a young girl dying of cancer.
That's truly touching, Matthew.
Which is a better way to go than Miss Saviour.
I put it right up there.
And
for obvious reasons. There was death in both. For poignancy.
And pathos.
And Alf.
Alf was in both.
I feel like Dave's slowly just giving up. Shall we sing a carol?
Yes. We'll sing a carol underneath you, Dave. You sign out.
What carol do you want to sing? I was just thinking,
a carol.
Away in a manger. Okay, go for it, Dave.
So, guys, thank you so much for listening to our Christmas special for 2015. If you do enjoy the show, you can send us a little Christmas present by reviewing us or subscribing on iTunes. We love those 5 stars. And we're on Twitter, of course, at DoGoOnPod. Facebook as well. How long can I draw this out? How long are you going to keep singing in the background there? But we wish you all a very Merry Christmas. We'll be back next week with another episode from the fabulous Jess Perkins. Who knows who she'll wish death upon next week.
I hate you all.
And I say my name is Dave Warnocky. Thank you and good night and good luck. No, that's not Christmas. Oh my God. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
And a happy new year.
Except you. Yeah, my brother's sack was bigger than mine.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.